Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Donna W., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in California. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, and this is the 10 a.m. meeting, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 40, third paragraph at the bottom of the page, starting with In This Frame of Mind, through one paragraph finishing on page 41, Not a Cloud on the Horizon. Today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Wendy M., the 12 traditions, Joanne L., for the Big Book passage, Stephen G., Vision for You, Janice P.M., backup, Julie E.B., the newcomer greeter is Alex K., and announcements are Shelly E. The reference numbers for the share ID for Tuesday, May 26th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,490-23490. And for today's May 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 23,492-23492. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And so I asked Wendy M. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And thank you for your service, Donna. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Next up, we have Joanne L. for the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone on the line. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered by the grace of God. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, An OA group ought never be endorsed, financed, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 40, the third paragraph, last paragraph down at the bottom of the page, starting with in this frame of mind, through one paragraph finishing on page 41, not a cloud in the sky. And I'd like to ask Stephen G. to please read and comment on that paragraph.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. In this frame of mind, I went about my business, and for a time, all was well. I had no trouble refusing drinks and began to wonder if I had not been making too hard work of a simple matter. One day, I went to Washington to present some accounting evidence to a government bureau. I had been out of town before during this particular dry spell, so there was nothing new about this. Physically, I felt fine. Neither did I have any pressing problems or worries. My business came off well. I was pleased and knew my partners would be too. It was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. This chapter is going into detail about the second part of the disease, which is the mental obsession. And in the previous chapter, we learned that the main problem of a compulsive overeater centers in our mind. The food is actually not the problem. And Fred has been, he's been in the hospital once before because of his alcoholism. And Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob, or whoever else was with them, have come and they've told him what the nature of the problem is. And so he agrees that he has some of those problems, but he doesn't think he needs their solution. And I can relate to that. Before I came into OA, I didn't think I had an actual problem. I thought the problem was food. And I could solve it just by dieting or exercising or whatnot. And then when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I thought, yeah, I can kind of relate to what you people are saying, but I don't think it's as bad for me, or I don't think I really have to do these things. And in this frame of mind, as he says in the first sentence, what frame of mind is that? Frame of mind which says, okay, now I understand this disease. Now I'm just going to address it with my self-confidence, with my self-will, with my with my willpower. And yeah, it works for a while. But the truth is, if we're a real compulsive overeater, eventually that thought is going to come and it's going to say, you know what? It's a good idea for me to eat for whatever reason. And it could be because I'm feeling bad or I'm feeling nothing. It doesn't matter. That mental obsession will come. And Fred now is just describing that process. And I went through that process so many times. And eventually had to come to the conclusion that I was doomed. And he's going through that process of trial and error, which was necessary to fully understand the disease and then realize that we are doomed. And but there is a solution. And none of us liked it, but it works. And once we take these actions, actually life becomes so much better. It's quite a miracle. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. in Canada. So now is the time to for your shares, and although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your sharing every third day on any of the Vision meetings in order that others might share their experience too. So please share your first name, last initial, and location. Who would like to share today?
Larry G.
Lori A.
All right, Larry G. Who was after Larry?
Lori A.
Lori A.
Victoria S.
Victoria S, great.
Jordan L.
Jordan L.
Lori. Lori C.
Sorry, Lori C, great. Okay, so let's just pause there. I have Larry G, Lori A. All right, Larry G, Lori A, Victoria S, Jordan L, Lori C. Anyone else want to jump into this first lineup? Okay, everyone, please mute except for Larry G, and you'll be followed by Lori A, and everyone, please share where you're calling from.
Larry G from California. I don't know if there's anybody else on this phone that relates today of feeling sorry for themselves, but I have a little self-pity going on, so I thought it was a good idea to pull the covers off and report to myself, because this paragraph has helped me to see that. You know, a while back, about 30 days ago, I had relapsed. I didn't want to admit that. I had, I overate on one of my foods. It's now on the alcoholic food list. And my go-to default comment was, as long as I don't eat any of my alcoholic foods, which I haven't. I haven't had any of the flour and sugar. This now has become an alcoholic food. I didn't know at the time. But I haven't had flour and sugar for over 6 years. And there was a lot of pride and ego in that. A lot of pride and ego in declaring myself as recovered. And that was a really hard one for me to go to my sponsor and let my sponsor know that I had compulsive over eight. And my sponsor said, okay, you have to pay your sponsees. So I'm no longer sponsoring and no longer giving service on the calls. And today I woke up feeling isolated and apart from a vision for you. And my sponsor reminded me that how many people called me when I relapsed, which was quite a few. And so today I'm going to make some calls because I guess there's probably people out there who are doing a lot worse than I am. But this guy's got a huge ego, and so do I. The only thing I thought about was when I made that disclosure was, oh my God, I can't introduce myself as being recovered anymore. And, I'm not cured. I'll never be cured. And I don't even know what recovered means tell you the truth. Are we recovered if we're irritable, restless, and discontent? I mean, that's unsober-like behavior. Is that being recovered? I don't know. That's why we got the 10 steps, I suppose. So I'm calling myself out because I'm going to go away if I don't. I will go away and find another game somewhere else. And if I do, I'll die. That's the truth, because this has been the greatest adventure, joy, and vision for you in my entire time in Over Ears Anonymous. And with that, I pass back to you. Moderator, I pass back to you.
Thank you, Larry G. in California. Next up, I have Lori A., followed by Victoria S.
Hi, this is Lori A., compulsive overeater in California. I love this story because it illustrates the fact that, for me, a good day can be as dangerous as a bad day. There's an inclination to think that, oh my gosh, I am most prone to fall to my disease when I'm under a huge amount of stress or a catastrophe has happened, or I'm hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, or anything like that. But the truth is that I could have an absolutely wonderful day, or a day where nothing is happening at all. And that does not protect me from that curious mental twist that can happen. In fact, I have learned that when something difficult is going on, sometimes the time I need to be the most wary is when that difficulty has lifted, and it's in the period of relief after that. I don't know whether it's that things going well might make part of my brain complacent, or whether it's simply that positive stimulation can stir up my brain as much as negative stimulation can. All I know is that my disease can be waiting for me regardless of how my life is going. It's not as simple as correlating stress or other factors with it. Part of accepting that I'm a true addict, you know, a true compulsive overeater, is accepting that there doesn't need to be a reason for that twist to happen. And understanding that is really important to understanding the fact that I need the daily treatment, the daily preventative. I need to be treating this disease, whether it is currently showing any symptoms or not. Because if I don't, it will. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lori A. in California. Next up, I have Victoria S., followed by Jordan L.
Hi, good morning, Victoria, compulsive overeater in California. We have a running theme here. Thank you, Stephen, for your kicking us off. What struck me about this passage is not a cloud in the sky, which... You know, I'm coming up on 90 days, just starting my fourth step, and I've had abstinence before, and it just seemed like a normal day. And but I had no idea that lurking is that mental blank spot and that peculiar mental twist. And because I'm seeking this transformation that happens through the steps, working the steps, which I had not yielded to in the past. I have long-term sobriety in another program and never understood the nuance of the personality and the need to have that psychic change, a complete change in attitude and outlook that it promises, and how diligently and, you know, devotedly I have to work to seriously never want to go back to that way of life, which is the only life I knew, which was a normal life and not so. because it's plagued with a lot of self and a lot of struggle and a lot of demoralization. And, you know, there is freedom. And so anyway, every passage we read in the book, every paragraph just introduces me to myself at my core, and all of the recovery here strengthens my journey. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Victoria S. in California. Next up, I have Jordan L. in Colorado, followed by Lori C. And then we'll take more names. And actually, just before you go, Jordan, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 40, the third paragraph at the bottom, in this frame of mind, finishing on the page 41, it was the perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. Please go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me? Sorry, I unmuted
yes.
a second ago. Okay, awesome. Thanks, Donna, for moderating. Excuse me. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a compulsive overeater in Colorado. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting. I was really humbled by this passage today. excuse me. I'm just reminded. Fred's an interesting story, right? We read about Jim and sort of that strange mental twist, that ridiculous, insane idea that somehow whiskey won't affect me if I add it to some milk, you know. And I can really see, especially after listening to shares for the last couple of weeks, I can see the insanity in that, you know. I can really understand that. And then we have Fred, which is, his story is a little bit different. Fred doesn't have any twisty idea that comes in, you know. He has, like, pretty normal thoughts, you know. It kind of starts out with he's going about his business, and the thought comes in that maybe he's making too big a deal out of this whole thing, you know? Like maybe it's really not that bad. You translate that into compulsive overeating. Maybe I'm making too hard a deal out of this. Maybe I don't need to follow that food plan. Maybe I don't need to weigh and measure. You know, I can just kind of like throw this on my plate and eat it as is. That's what it looks like with compulsive overeating. And that idea, like, it really isn't all that insane, which means that it's really hard to recognize. And as illustrated here in Fred's story, it's a blank spot. You know, like, how do you recognize a blank spot, you know? And so I'm humbled and just reminded that I got no defense. My only defense, my only option is a higher power. And so that's the frame of mind that I turn to. When I turn to the God of my understanding and the 12 steps. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. in Colorado. And next up, I have Lori C. And then after Lori, I'll open up and take more names. Go ahead, Lori.
Margo B. Oh, sorry.
Yes, oh, no, I'll take names after Lori.
Okay.
I'll take names after Lori. Go ahead, Lori.
This is Lori C. in Colorado. I am returning. This is not something I wanted to get on the phone and talk about today, but thankfully, T-Mobile came through. I never quit trying to get back into this call, but I was off for a little while. I went on vacation. I became the person I never wanted to be, the kind of person that thinks they're working a great program, but must not be because I relapsed. That's the long and short of it. Sitting here right now, I have like one day abstinence. I don't even recall thinking about it. I don't even recall when I decided that I was going to relapse. I really thought that that wasn't a part of my mindset. And obviously, I didn't prepare well enough or something. But I just wanted to say that as embarrassing and shameful as it is today, I'm not giving up. I am coming back. I'm going to work the steps yet again and do whatever my sponsor asks me to do. And I really never want to be the kind of person who goes on vacation, relapses, and then comes back and has to start over. But maybe that's, you know, that's obviously what God had me to do this time. So anyway, I could use prayers for sure, phone calls. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Lori C. in Colorado. We're glad you're here. So now we'll open up the line for more shares. Please go ahead.
Margot B., New York.
Margot B.?
Jackie D. in Georgia.
Was it Jackie?
Yes, ma'am.
Jackie G.
in Georgia. D as in delightful.
Okay.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
Liz E. Gotcha, Liz.
Yes, Liz E. from New York.
Great, thank you. And it's a great day to share, whether you shared before or not, whether you're in the food or not, it's a great day to share.
Regina V, California.
Regina V.
Vanessa G, New Mexico.
Vanessa G.
Joy MV, California.
Joy MV. Okay, great. I'm going to stop the lineup there. We have Margot B, Jackie D, Liz E, Regina V, Vanessa G, and Joy M. V. So if everyone would please mute your phones except for Margot B. from New York, and then Margot will be followed by Jackie D. Go ahead, Margot.
Hi, Margot here. Compulsive overeater. Apologies for overspeaking earlier. So frame of mind, I thought that was like really important. What frame of mind am I in to really pay attention to my thoughts, my attitudes? That's why I have to do this work, to give me a better awareness and through my conscious contact and with God, my understanding. And then not a cloud on the horizon. And I'm listening and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll show you. I'll create a cloud. And I'm like, it occurred to me, like, food was my friend. Food was my everything, right? He became my master. It became my master. And so now it's not there. Now, if there's just a void, right, it can be filled with almost anything. And I need to fill it with God. So when I like, not a cloud on the horizon, well, now what am I going to do? Like, right? Like, now what? And it's just the insanity of like, oh, you know, all of a sudden that's starting to look good. That's starting to look a little, no, Like, no. Just because there's a void that I might be feeling, because, oh my goodness, everything's in quote unquote order, you know, that makes me crazy because I come from the chaos, right? Should I eat? Shouldn't I eat? 10 pounds up, 10 pounds up, diet, binge. Like, I come from the chaos. So now if there's not a cloud in the sky, what do I do with that? God gives me a solution. This program leads me to God. So I have to keep working it because I need to stay in conscious contact. My mind, my framework, my mind setting. It doesn't matter what's happening, right? No matter what club, right? I got to remind myself. I have to be reminded by everybody else. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Margo B. in New York. Next up, I have Jackie D. in Georgia, followed by Liz E.
Good morning, OA family. My name is Jackie D. in Georgia. Thank you all so much for being here for me this morning, and thank you for allowing me this honor to share my experience, strength, and hope with you all. Thank you so much, everybody who shared so far. I mean, your shares have been incredible, and I really have gotten a lot out of it, which is what inspired me to share. Because your shares have made me realize that, or I've always realized it, but brought home the point that no matter what, I cannot pick up. Whether there's a cloud in the horizon, whether there isn't a cloud in the horizon, I cannot pick up. I have been blessed with abstinence, and I need to not take that for granted. I have to remember that every day I have to work the steps 1 through 12. Every day I have to remember that this is a disease that is beyond my control, and I have to rely on my higher power's control to be able to work it every day, to be able to stay abstinent every day, and it really is a daily reprieve. I spend a lot of time in the morning talking to my higher power and journaling about my adventures of the day and what I think the day should go, and then I have to leave it up to my higher power to dictate how the day really goes. But the one thing I don't take for granted is, and I always thank him for, is that abstinence, is that sobriety, because I'm in another program. But, you know, I have to thank my higher power for that, that I have to remember that this is a disease that will sneak up on me. And when I think I have it, I don't have it. And that's when I think I have it is when I really need to rely on my higher power because I don't have it. I have to remember that. Regardless of the situation, I have to remember that I could be having a good day. I could be having a bad day. I could just be having a day. I cannot pick up because picking up is not an option. Picking up is not the best thing for my sense of being. Picking up is not emotionally, spiritually, or physically good for me. So I have to keep that in remembrance. And I'm so glad that we read this passage today because I have been thinking about food. Food comes to mind. But I have to remember that I have no control over my thoughts. The only thing I have control over is what I do with those thoughts. And I thank you for your shares. I thank God for his love of me. I thank him for my recovering state every single day that I have not picked up. And so thank you for being here today and allowing me this privilege to share my experience, strength, and hope with you all. I will not pick up today, no matter what. And I pray to God that I don't pick up tomorrow, no matter what. Thank you all so much for being here. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jackie D. Next up, I have Liz E. from New York. Oh, sorry, Jackie D. from Georgia. Next up, I have Liz E. from New York and Regina V. That will be following her.
This is Liz E. from New York. I hope you don't lose me. I'm traveling and I don't have a great connection, but this was a really great read for me this morning. You know, we have here this gentleman, you know, there's not a cloud on the horizon. He's having a good day. You know, everything's fine. And then he lets his guard down. The preceding talks of a subtle insanity which precedes the first drink. So let my guard down, if I become complacent, if I sit on my laurels.
Oh, we're losing you, Lizzie. Liz? All right. Sounds like we lost Liz E. So we can come back to Liz. So, Regina, are you ready to go? Regina V, please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me? Regina?
Yeah. Who's this?
Hello? Regina, Regina V from California. My name is Regina V, and I'm a compulsive overeater and sugar addict. And there were many times when I thought I had it, and all of a sudden, wham, bam, I would just get into the sugar or into the food. And I would be puzzled and wondering what happened. You know, everything was going good. You know, I was talking to my sponsor and going to meetings and working the program. Just this weekend was really hard because I'm coming from a seven-day binge. I think that happened 3 weeks ago where I just had a huge resentment, and I just attacked the sugar. It was a horrible binge. It was like 7 days of nonstop, and on Friday, I just felt so desperate. This was 3 weeks ago, Friday, and I remember just feeling hopeless, and I made an outreach call. Thank God for that. And I literally flushed, you know, the bad stuff that I'm not supposed to ever ingest down the toilet. And just that action was so powerful. Because after that, the next day, I was, sorry, you guys, my throat. Just that action of me flushing something poisonous down the toilet really helped me to want to continue to try and stay abstinent. And I've been desperately working the program, and the last thing that just happened was I found how this meeting is recorded, and I told myself the day that I cannot reach somebody or make it to a meeting, because I don't know about an OA meeting at a certain time, I'll call this number and listen to the recorded messages just to get that spiritual help, you know, that that message, that positive message, because this program is medicine. This is my medicine. And every day now, I wake up and I say, God, help me stay abstinent. I never used to say that. I never even used to think about God. And now, like, that's all I want to do, just get closer and closer. Because I hear all of you guys talk about how important, you know, it's the most important thing to have a relationship with your higher power and to trust that power completely. And that's what I've been doing. I've been waking up and saying, God, help me stay abstinent just for today. Another thing I wanted to ask is I listened to Crystal on she spoke on Sunday, but I listened to her. If I could just get her number, they never did disclose her number. That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina V. And just to let folks know, you can find members' numbers on the website, visionforyou.info. And then also, yes, you can always call into the recording of the last meeting with the share ID. And that's a great way to get recovery in your ear at any time. So thanks for reminding us, Regina V. So Liz E., just want to just check back in with you if you have coverage. Okay, we're going to go move on to Vanessa G. in New Mexico.
Good morning. This is Vanessa G.
recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Fred's story, probably the most important story that I ever read in the big book, that strange mental blank spot story, you know, the fact that, you know, drinking or compulsive eating can come out of nowhere. You know, a relapse can come out of nowhere. In the past year, I guess, you know, there's been several people in my life, in this, you know, in my circle, who have reset their abstinence state, and they did not, you know, leave the program. They did not stop doing everything they needed to do. They didn't stop going to meetings. They didn't stop sponsoring. There were many things that they were still doing and still working at, and still the disease crept up on them, and they had what we would call a relapse. I have to remember that that is just how powerless I am. And I think that if I can stay that humble and realize over and over again that I am not safe just because I have accumulated a few days, just because I'm doing, you know, what people say to do, I am not safe. The only thing that stands between me and that first compulsive fight, well, actually, it's that first compulsive thought or lack of thought, is a higher power, a power greater than myself and who I choose to call God, a God that loves me, that cares for me, guides me and protects me, and gives me the strength to do this one day at a time. I'm getting ready to go into the lion's den, I guess, a family reunion. I'm going to be surrounded by family for a couple of days, you know, 12 of us in one house. And I'm going to need God more than ever, and I'm going to need all of you more than ever. So I really appreciate this meeting. I just, you know, really want to bring home to myself just how powerless I am. And hopefully I can stay in that place and remember that of myself I am nothing. You know, God keeps me abstinent. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. And next up I have Joy M.V. in California. And then after Joy, we'll probably have time for one more share. So go ahead, Joy.
Good morning. May I be heard?
You may.
Thanks for conducting this meeting. I'm Joy M.V., working on my recovery every moment, every day in California. I am so grateful to my Vision Fellows, to this meeting, to my sponsor, but so grateful to these daily meetings where people tell me what to do and how to do it every single day. They share what I need to be shared. I floated along the Nile, believing everything was okay, until I floated along the river of denial and to 360 pounds. It's all well. Go get another doctorate. Study for the LSAT. It's brain power that works. Oh, sure. Yeah, I knew. I mean, to the hospital I went. A leg split down the front. To every OA meeting, by the way, in the San Francisco Bay Area, where they would have the blue book on the back table, they would say, particularly in the late 1900s and early 2000s. There's a blue book back there on the table, you guys, but no one said that this is the book that will take you off the floating Nile and let you see that the skies above you are not blue. For my purpose, I have to have three of these meetings, vision meetings, 2 to 3 a day, to be reminded that I am Fred, I am Fred, I am Fred, I am Fred, I am Fred. I float in the Nile, in denial. I float in beauty, thinking that everything's okay in my life as I'm shoveling in the potato chips or whatever I'm shoveling in for that day. And for this meeting, again, I want to say how grateful I am. And with that, I pass. Everybody have a great day, and thank you for being my fellows.
Thank you, Joy M. And time. Let's see.
or one share, or maybe even two short shares. I'll just follow up with Lizzie. Are you available? Finish your share. Okay, we'll take one more name.
Suzanne, Lisa W.
So we had Suzanne, and where are you calling from, Suzanne? Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, I am. Sorry, I didn't hear you. My name is Suzanne B.F. I'm from California. And so
okay.
I find this paragraph really interesting because it starts out with this in this frame of mind, and then at the end it says it was the end of a perfect day, not a cloud on the horizon. And for me, what's really important, which I learned from the 11th step, was to be very, very mindful of how I'm thinking. And I have to go through my day and I have to be really watching my mind and the self-talk that I'm giving to myself, because I can so easily do what this man did, which is that I can go from being happy and cheerful into just a negative space. And it's that negative space, for me at least, that starts off my descent into wanting to overeat. So that's what's worked for me, is really, really learning how to be very mindful of watching what I'm thinking. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you, Suzanne. I didn't get your last initial in California. And then Lisa W., I heard you jump in. We do have two more minutes if you want to take them.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Do you want Suzanne or do you want the other person?
Yeah, give me your first initial of your last name, Suzanne, if anyone wants to reach out.
B-F are my initials. Thank you.
Thank you. And then Lisa W., were you there and want to ask down to 1 minute now?
Excellent. Yes, I'm here. Thank you so much.
Lisa W. who jumped in earlier. Go ahead.
Yes, this is Lisa W. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I feel like I'm hearing everything with new ears the last couple of days. My sponsor lost her abstinence after many years. And each time I hear people who have really long-term abstinence and lose it, it just reinforces me that, oh my God, this disease just does never let up. It just never lets up. And I've been resting on my laurels a little. Haven't been making outreach calls. Haven't had 10 steps lately. I've been doing my nightly reviews and stuff, but I just feel so motivated. I don't want to let down on my spiritual program. So thank you for everyone who's shared. It's really been hitting me deep and reminding me and motivating me to work this program every day. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa W. Okay, so let me just see where we're at. Great, so we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page... Music going. Does anyone know how to cancel that music? Okay. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I've got Janice PM to please read that section.
Certainly, I'd be glad to. Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.